Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my church family. Happy Lord's Day. If you happen to be joining us for the first time, we're glad you're here. I'd like to remind you, in case you missed it at the top of the service, that we do offer a worship guide. It's on the landing page of our website at cbccorpuschristi.com. Just up above the video box, there's a link there. It's a PDF file, and it'll contain the scripture references that I'm using today for our sermon. Well, here we are, brothers and sisters. Our final study in the letter that the Apostle Peter wrote to the scattered and suffering saints in Asia Minor. What a blessing it has been. And so today we get to see the Apostle's final remarks. And they are not just, what was gripping to me is that it wasn't just like, you know, thanks for listening, goodbye. It was, there's so much in these three verses that I'm excited to really dig in and dive in with you today as we contemplate what it's meant to study through this particular letter. Let me say also that it's personally been very edifying for me. I have learned, the Lord has graciously taught me and grown me in the Word and in my faith, and I am so thankful to the Lord for that. So I hope that this journey has been very helpful to you. And I do want to remind you, in case you jumped in recently or maybe about halfway through, you can always go back and listen to these sermons. You might have to forward to the sermon part, but you can get the gist. You can study 1 Peter for yourself if you want to do that. And so I wanted to remind you that we do have those resources available on our resource page on our website. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Let's thank God for the opportunity that He has given us to study the Word of God together. So the text reads in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Now, I want to just quickly allude to verse 11 as a way of introduction to kind of just break out in a moment of doxology, if you will. And so verse 11, to Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. All this has been to the glory of God and will always be to the glory of God because we are under the weight of His Word. The sovereign God of all the universe is speaking to us. And so let's jump right into verse 12. Again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for taking us on this journey, for teaching us and training us up into godliness through the power and weight of your word. And today, Father, it is no different. You have brought us to focus more intentionally on these three verses to understand how we can grow in faithfulness as believers in Christ. Help us to regard one another, Father, to understand and to be taught what that means. Help us to humbly receive exhortation and declaration of the true grace that belongs to you and you alone. And Father, we need help. Enable us by the power of your Spirit to stand firm. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the peace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, and we humble ourselves again under the weight of the teaching of the Word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, my brothers and sisters. As you consider what we're going to look at in these three verses, I want to give you four points. Four points that will help us navigate through these few verses. And let me just, before I give you the four points, what struck me is that, again, the Apostle Peter is not just saying, you know, thanks for listening, goodbye. And so we can't treat it that way. We have to be careful not to end this study and just, as it were, finish reading a book, close the book, and put it back on the shelf. This is something we must ask the Lord to help us apply. All this has been for practical application of Christian living, that we would live out the truth that is contained in the gospel that we've been taught here. We've been taught many great, powerful truths, and we cannot set them aside. We must allow them to continue to pervade everything that is about our lives so that we can grow in faithfulness, grow in grace, grow in truth, grow and regard one another in Christ and live in peace. All these things are very, very important. So as you consider these things, I want you to think of how this all works out with four main points. Number one, it's this. The first point, regard your faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. That's number one. Regard your faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And the reason I say that is because those of us, men and women, boys and girls, young people, whoever you are, have been brought to faith in Christ. You have been brought into a family. You are now a brother or a sister in the family of God. But the important word here is regard. What does it mean to regard your brothers and sisters? I believe that's important, so we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But that's number one, regard your faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Another important word is faithful. Number two, very important. Receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. We are to receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. This is crucial. And everything the apostle has taught up until this point, he doesn't let this go. He gives us the distinction that there is a true gospel, there is a true grace, and there is a false gospel. We must receive the exhortation and the declaration of what is true, and that is the true grace of God. Number three, we are exhorted to stand firm in the faith. Brothers and sisters, we are exhorted to stand firm in the faith. Number four, and finally, live in peace with those who are in Christ. Live in peace with those who are in Christ. Those will be the four points. I'll try to revisit them so that if you're trying to catch these and write them down, because it is important for us to understand how this fleshes out. Again, let's go to verse 12. By Silvanus. Now notice what the apostle's doing. He's giving us a glimpse as to what it means to be co-laborers in the ministry. That there is a brother by the name of Silvanus who most probably is also Silas, who worked with Paul. We're going to get to know him a little bit. So Silvanus is just a Roman form of the Greek word Silas. Remember Paul and Silas? You may have heard little songs about that. But this is who he's talking about, a faithful brother, a servant of the Lord, one who is being discipled. In fact, Peter obviously took him under his wing and began to disciple him. That's why discipleship is so important. You see this relationship. But he is called here by Peter a faithful brother, as I regard him. Peter regarded Silas or Silvanus as his faithful brother, giving us a clue of the importance of being faithful brothers and sisters toward one another. You'll see in Acts chapter 15, verse 22, we see a glimpse of Silas. It says there under the heading, the council's letter to the Gentile believers. So this was a common practice to send letters to the churches. And so it reads in verse 22, then it seemed good to the apostles, which included Peter and the elders. Remember, the order of church, the elders, with the whole church, the body of Christ, the family of God, to choose men from among them, okay, and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas called Barsabbas and Silas. This is Silvanus, leading men among the brothers. So Silas, Silvanus was a leading brother in the church, led faithfully, was being discipled and discipling, was being humbly taught the word and was teaching the word, was willing to go to the highways, much like a missionary who has been sent on mission. He had a passion. The Lord had saved him and put in him a passion to reach the nations for Christ or the territories, wherever God would send him. In this case, he was a faithful brother to the apostles and to the disciples. What an exciting thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it is always yes. So you can see how our brother here, Silvanus, is a faithful brother and is intricately intertwined in gospel, Christ-centered ministry. And this is important to know. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. He's included in that greeting that Paul is giving to the Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 1 and 2, we see the same thing. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that a faithful brother is in partnership or ministry partnership, gospel-centered ministry, with those who are faithful, those who are serving the Lord, serving the church, leading the church, exhorting the church, preaching the word. So vitally important to see this connection and this relationship. And I think it's important because of the fact that how that's so not as in view as it should be today as it was in the first century. And so this becomes important. So Hebrews 13:22. Under the heading Final Greetings, I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. That leads us to the second point. This faithful brother has been tasked with the responsibility to take this that the Apostle Peter has written to these suffering saints and make sure that they received it. And so he would represent the apostle in this way. And that's his part of being faithful, that he could be trusted to do such a thing because he had demonstrated a level of humility and Christ-centeredness in his ministry and in his life that would give him that kind of responsibility. But then he goes on to say, Peter, he says, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Wow, this is incredible. Two important words as we consider this. So again, under that first point, regard your faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to understand what that means to regard one another. And what Peter is doing here, he's kind of bridging these together. If we do not have that kind of regard, I would shudder to say that it is unbelievably sad that we don't have healthy, biblical, Christ-centered regard one for another. In our sin, we can sometimes be wooed away and regard other people, other relationships, more important than the relationships that we have in Christ. And that is such a dangerous thing, that we would find comfort in other relationships that are not Christ-honoring, that are not centered on the gospel. And we would have those relationships, we would regard those relationships as more important. Brothers and sisters, when you've been brought into the family, you now have a set of brothers and sisters whom you are called to regard with everything. Lay aside the sin that so easily entangles you. Get out of relationships that are not healthy and regard one another. This is the way that it works. And we see this right here. Peter is giving us a clear example of what it means to regard faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we don't regard biblically what Peter is talking about here, we can make grave mistakes. And we can move in and out of relationships. Our brother or sister says something we're not comfortable with. We don't appreciate the exhortation or the being held to account or the loving rebuke or whatever it is. And all of a sudden, we just run for the hills. Why? Because we have no regard for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You can see how this works. And I would pray that we would be found more faithful as a community, as a church, who regard one another, that we are not afraid that even if it's uncomfortable to hear certain things or to be lovingly rebuked, that we would hang in there because Christ has called us to regard one another as faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Could you be found faithful? How would you be regarded as a faithful brother or sister in Christ? I certainly have to consider that. And there are many times where I have failed in that way and I have to say, Lord, I repent. Because my brothers and my sisters deserve for me to regard them. And I need to be able to be someone that can be counted on. someone that can be looked at as, you know, that is a faithful brother. That through thick and thin, you know, the highs and the lows, we are there for one another in Christ. And so now we come to these two words. That leads us to our second point. Receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we don't want to hear. And this is what makes the false gospel of the modern evangelical church out there that is suffering from, this is what makes it so dangerous. Because we come to find out that many of us, unfortunately, have been lulled into this process where we get in line at a smorgasbord, if you will, and we pick and choose what we want. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I can turn that off. I'll hear this. I like the way this sounds. I'll take that. But that is not biblical. That is not what the Word of God teaches. We must humbly, brothers and sisters, receive exhortation. Peter here has exhorted us lovingly, but he has given great exhortation from the Word of God, and we must receive humbly the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God, lest we be deceived, lest we fall into a lull and just go with the flow and turn and grab on to culture and rebel against Christ. So this is important. So we see that this is not different than what we see in the writer, even in Hebrews, gave us. But here in Acts chapter 11, verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, here's the grace of God, he was glad and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. One more time, I'm going to give you that one. It's important to understand why this part is important. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. Be glad for the grace of God. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. How many times have we been found to be unfaithful? We've been shaken and we've been thrown off and we haven't been strong enough, so we didn't stand. We fell. Many of us have fallen and we need to get up and repent and say, God, forgive me for not standing firm. This is important. So this can only happen when we receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. Now, I would remind you that Paul gives us a great, great truth about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first two verses. Some of you know this well enough, but let me give it to you again. Under the heading, the resurrection of Christ. Again, this all leads to eternal life based on the resurrection of Christ. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, and this is, I believe, what Peter is doing here in these final remarks. I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. There's that receiving the exhortation and declaration in which you stand. Leads us right into that third point, doesn't it? And by which you are being saved. Wow. There's that progressive sanctification that's taking place. Now notice this. In 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us this caveat. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Have we believed in vain? I pray not. I pray that you have truly turned from your sin and repented and believed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 12, verse 12, when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark. Remember, he's referring to John Mark. So this is John Mark. This is the Mark that he brings up here, is a son, is a disciple that Peter, his disciple, who wrote that second gospel, where many were gathered together and were praying. You see this interactive relationship of what it means to do gospel ministry together. The Apostle Peter, Silas or Silvanus for our purposes today, and John Mark are all being mentioned here in this last part. So I want to take you to a couple of things as we think about what this means to receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. There is a true grace. There is a false grace. And so I want to take you to a passage in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, in fact, I think I have it here. I want to give it to you right away, beginning at verse 6. These verses here, I'm going to give you a few. They're in your worship guide, so you'll be able to find them there quickly. But look what Paul does here in Galatians as it relates to the true grace of God. He says, After his opening remarks, Paul blurts this out and he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one. Did you catch that? Not that there is another one, but there are some. And it's no different today, brothers and sisters. There will always be some. Oh, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Wow, that's strong language. I believe that's what Peter is doing in our text in 1 Peter 5. He's saying, listen, I'm not giving you my stuff. If I'm saying something wrong, man, let me be accursed. Wow, this is strong. And then it says, it goes on to say in verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Brothers and sisters, there is only one true grace of God, and it is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it can't be tampered with. We don't get to do with it what we please. We have to submit to it. It must do its work in us by God's grace. There is no other gospel, and so we are to stand firm in that faith. Point number three. So I exhort you and I encourage you and I plead with you, true believers, to stand firm in the faith that is that where Christ is the center, where Christ is our Lord and Savior, where our sovereign God rules and reigns in all of our lives and is making us to be faithful brothers and sisters who regard one another in Christ. Praise God. And then he goes on to say, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Man, don't miss what that is saying. If I am trying to please man, if I try to say something that will sound good to the human ear, then I am not a servant of Christ. Praise God that that is in the Word of God, because that is a way to quickly discern what we are hearing. And today we hear nothing but much of what is preached and taught in, you know, the so-called evangelical church is meant for the itchy ears, is meant for those who just simply want to hear what they want to hear. But we are not here to please man. I am not called to preach so that I can say something that I think people want to hear. Let me be accursed, according to what Paul is talking about here in Galatians. I am to humbly preach and to exhort and declare the true grace of God. And may we be found faithful to do that. In Ephesians, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and you can see how Peter brings us to what he calls Babylon in the church. What he's referring to there, because again, there was a lot of persecution. No doubt he's referring to the church at Rome, the believers who are a part of the church in Rome. Babylon is another reference to Rome. And there could be multiple reasons for that, but that is what I believe Peter is giving us here in this particular text as he talks about. And then he alludes to that, to the group of believers there in the church, or that church in Rome, as those who are chosen as well. So if you've been chosen in Christ, you are set in the family of God. We are joint heirs together with Jesus, and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the family of God. But here in Ephesians, we get something great. I'm going to give you these first 10 verses because I believe they're critically important as to what the Apostle Peter is doing here in these last verses. What it means to receive the exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God and stand firm in the faith. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, not the will of man, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Remember, Peter talked about Silas as being a faithful brother, Silvanus being a faithful brother, regarding one another, regarding brothers and sisters in Christ. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Same language that the Apostle Peter is giving us. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan. Look at that. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Amen, brothers and sisters. All of this is being done by our sovereign God who chose us in him. You are saved because you've been chosen in Christ. You are alive in Christ because you've encountered the grace and mercy of a good God who has awakened you to these truths that we have before us today. Praise be to God for that. We have to understand this is why we can wrap this up and we can say, number four, live in peace with those who are in Christ. Man, this is a call to fight your sin of pride when you are, you know, tempted to rebel against either your authority in the church or the truth that is being preached or taught to you. And it's something inside, it's our sin nature that is at war and wants to rebel. But God's grace is sufficient to overcome that. And we must say, Father, help me to live in peace with those who are in Christ. There's peace in Christ. And Jesus said this himself. We know this. You know this passage in John 14. It's familiar. Let me just read it for you. John 14, 6 and 7, just so you can, it can fall on you fresh right now in this moment. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other grace. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Believer, brother, faithful sister, from now on, you now know him and you have seen him in the Word. And later on in verse 25 of that same chapter, John 14, and this will close us, Jesus himself says these words. He says, these things I have spoken to you. Let's hear from Jesus himself. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. You can't find this outside of the household of faith. If you regard those that are outside of the faith, those that have rejected the gospel, you won't find help there. So it's not as the world gives, do I give to you? And then he closes it out with this. This is why we can live in peace. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Believers, let me remind you. Number one, regard your faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, maybe that is something for you to consider right now and say, Lord, forgive me if I have not regarded my brothers and sisters, that I've literally not treated them well, not been kind and respectful and appreciate their counsel, their concern for me, for my spiritual health. And I've regarded those who could care less about my spiritual health and just want to hang out, just want to do other things that are just so superficial. That's why you've been saved. You've been saved out of that into healthy, God-honoring, Christ-centered relationships that will actually build you up and encourage you. Secondly, humbly receive the exhortation consistently and the declaration persistently of the true grace of God, which is the gospel, which is through Christ and Christ alone. You will not find the truth anywhere else or in anyone else. Number three, stand firm in the faith. Let us not be weak any longer. Let us stop so easily being thrown off and fighting our way back because we fall constantly because we are weak in our faith. We are weak in the spiritual disciplines that would make us strong. Brother, sister, rise up today and pray that God would give you strength. You can't do this on your own, but the grace of God has come. And you can stand firm in the faith that has been given to you, brother or sister. And finally, let us live in peace. There is so much turmoil going on around us. But for the household of faith, we have a peace because it's been given us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So may God help us to live in peace with those who are in Christ. Let us receive this word. Let us receive and respond well to this exhortation. And let us not just close the book and put it back on the shelf, but let us leave from this study having benefited greatly. And let us live this gospel out. Live these exhortations out to the glory of God. Amen? Praise God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that even as we see the apostle's final remarks, he would not let us go easy. He put in these three verses everything he possibly could. They are saturated with truth and with gospel so that we might as hearers not just leave it, but we would cleave it and we would bring it near and we would hold on to it and hold fast. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Thank you for revealing this to us. And help us, I pray, to be a people who regard our brothers and sisters better in Christ, Father. Help us to regard each other well. Help us to humbly receive exhortation and declaration of the true grace of God. And help us not to turn to a false gospel. Help us not to be tempted away to other gospels that are no gospels at all, Father. And help us to stand firm in the faith. And help us to live in the peace that you've given. To be at peace with one another in Christ. I thank you for the church. I thank you for the truth. And may we continue to grow forward. May we apply these things and practice these things in holiness going forward, I pray. To you be the honor and the glory forever and ever. I pray. Amen. Amen.